where it seems like you run and run and run, but it's like that mime, just running. And felt kind of like a Jimenez, you know? Remember Dwayne teaching to us about a Jimenez? He'd run, but didn't know what he's running for. But I kind of knew what I was running about. I just couldn't get there. Seems like everything I should have done, I didn't. And I've been here more probably this week than I've been in a long time, day and night. No, I haven't either. I painted my house this week. That's not exactly right. Been here a lot at night. But at any rate, there's a lot of things I should have done this week I didn't get done. I was just noticing I didn't even get the names on those boxes for the school and prayer. I worked all day yesterday. I mean all day and all night last night. And I mean all night on a video of King's Castle. And it's still not ready. I blamed it on the tape. And then I blamed it on the VCR. And then I blamed it. And finally, I figured out it was me. I was the problem. But so we were going to do the video today and maybe show a little bit of it tonight. I want to remind you tonight that it will be Humpty Night. A lot of folks will be coming, I hope, from the city. We'll have our fifth Sunday city thing here, and we're going to be doing Humpty. I think that'll be a slight cultural shock to some folks. But, you know, when you got a broken life, a lot of times the king's horsemen can't put it together, but the king can. And that's the whole thrust of the story of Humpty. And we need the king, don't we? And I need him right now. I need him to slow me down where I can just think and share and listen to the Spirit of God. I was up here last night till 5:30 trying to get that video done. And I finally decided it wasn't going to work. And so I went home and I slept. What time did I get up, Jude? About 8 o'clock or so. And back down here again. And so I just feel like I'm running. And I don't want to run. I want to take time and enjoy the fruits of my labor. So let's pray. Let's just ask the Lord to slow us down. Because I feel like sometimes what's happening to me is happening to you. And so let's just allow the Lord to slow us down and let us hear the voice of God and let Him minister to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we do. We thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for the peace of God. And Father, one day I'm really going to realize that You control all things. If You'd want that video made, that video would be made. I guess this is what You want done right here. And Lord, had we had the video, we wouldn't be doing this. So I understand that now, Lord. I thank You for speaking that to me. It gives me a peace. And Father, I just ask You to help me now as I share these thoughts and these truths that are in Your Word. And help us, Lord. We want help with our families. Be with us now. Anoint our ears that we can hear what You're saying. Be with us, O Jesus, we ask You. In Christ's name we pray, and the church says, Amen. Well, this is the fourth part of a series that we're doing entitled Building a Home or Building a Hell. And the first one was a basic overview of why homes fail. The reason they fail is because people just don't have knowledge. When you come for marital counseling or counseling about your home, what you're really saying is, I don't know how to do this. Now, we don't say that because we want to think we know all the answers. But if you knew the answer, you wouldn't be asking for counseling, right? So in reality, what we're really saying is, I don't know what to do. We found out from Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 that there is a reason that God's people, not the world, but God's people are destroyed. What is that reason? Lack of knowledge. He says, my people are destroyed, Hosea 4:6, for lack of knowledge. He says, because you have rejected my law, my ways, I have rejected thee, and I will also reject your children. Now, we talked about that in great depth. It's not that God just kicks us out. It's just that we've rejected His ways. It's like you have a parent and you won't do what the parent says, so the parent can't help you anymore. You're out there doing your own thing. And so it's not so much that we're just, our parents don't love us anymore. It's just that we're not listening to them. They won't listen, so they can't help us. Then the second one that we saw, we saw that it is the atmosphere of a home is really determined by a man, by the husband. We saw that the husband is the primary giver. The husband is responsible for setting the atmosphere of the home. We're to be like Christ Jesus. He says that he so loved his church that he gave himself for it. And a man is supposed to love his family. He's supposed to love his wife that much. And as we give, we find out that we'll receive. We give a woman some money to go buy groceries, and what do we get back? Man, food, good meals. We give her a seed, what do we get? A baby. We give her a house, what do we get? A home. She's a multiplier. She takes what is given to her and she reprocesses it and presses it down and shakes it together and gives it back to the man. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. If we give her hell, what are we going to get back? You got it. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Then last week, we went to the woman, and I had set you gals up real well. I had got the men first, and then last week we talked about the women's role shortly. Of course, you can't cover everything. You just hit a point that you hear the Holy Spirit saying and speaking to us. And we saw that the primary thing, or one of the primary things that the Scripture speaks about the woman, is that she must have a what? A meek and a quiet spirit. And so we titled it that, the meek spirit, or sit down and shut up. So we talked about that, and you know that if this is true or not, ladies, you know, it's an art. Being submissive to your husband is an art, and it's to your own husband. You're not submissive to men; you're submissive to your husband. Is that what it says? That's what the Bible says, and so understand that. And we're not talking. You're not inferior. You're weaker physically. My wife is not inferior to me in any way, but she's weaker than me physically. In many ways, she's superior to me. So what we've got to understand here is that we're not talking in a down talking way. But ladies, you got to learn when to shut up. That's the problem that the Bible continually talks about, is that you don't have a meek and a quiet spirit, and you know if this is true in your life or not simply by saying, "Can you call your husband Lord like Sarah did?" And if that grinds you, then something's wrong. We've missed something somewhere. Can you look at your husband as Lord, as did Sarah in 1 Peter chapter 3? And if it does something in you, so that's what I'm saying. We know we've gotten away from the things of God, because that grinds us women today. The feminist movement and the all this stuff. And again, I am not chauvinistic. Now, there's a word out about me that I am. You know, that I don't like women to minister and all that. I never have understood that, but that's a lie from hell, people. Women probably minister here more than any place. And I ask them to. And so what I'm just trying to project to you is that there's people in the orders of homes and God's blessings and so forth. Well, today, what I want to talk about is children. And we're going to take a couple of weeks to do this one. I got a couple of things that I want to say before we terminate this series. But today I want to talk a little bit about children. I want to talk today about dealing with children, or can you do anything with my child? And I want to try to help you. A place that I really believe that I excelled at was rearing children. And I believe I know something about it. And I really want to project some thoughts to you and some truths. So if you're there, let's first of all go through my outline, because I don't know if I'll get to all of it today. But we're dealing with children. So the purpose that I want to do today is, what does it mean to train a child? And that's what we're about to read in Proverbs 22 and 6. It says, "Train up a child the way that he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it." But what does it mean to train a child up? You come to church, and your preacher says what? Train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart. Well, what does that mean? Your best religious friend tells you, train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. But what does that mean? What do you train? How do you train? What are you training them for? What do you use to train them? What does that mean? It's kind of like just throwing something at you and say, here, do something with it. Well, I want to take a little time today and talk about that thought. What does that mean to train up a child in the way that he should go? And then I want to talk about that it really means dedicating. That's what it really, we're going to see that in just a second. And then the second thing I want to talk about is, why do we train? Why do we train a child? What's the purpose of it anyhow? What's the benefit of training a child? And then lastly, and we won't get to it, I'm just going to really just throw up a bunch of scriptures, and we're going to talk about this one next time, how to train a child, and what you use is the rod, but not only the rod. Okay? So we're going to talk about these things. And a lot of you have asked me about getting my outlines on paper for you, and I'm working on that. So we'll try to do something in that area. But what does it mean? Let's read this verse together. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, NIV Bible says, very similar, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. That's the only differentiation, is he will not turn from it, even when he's old. And then the NASV Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So those are the three basic translations that we have here. I know there's some amplified, and I don't have enough room on my paper to get all that on there, but if you haven't amplified, ever read one, you know what I'm talking about. It just goes on and on and on. But the basic thought here is train the child, and when the child is old, or even when the child is old, he won't depart from it. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that if I train the child, that he'll get away from the Lord, and when he's old, he'll come back? Does that mean that, like the scripture really says it here, does that mean that if I rear my children right with proper biblical principles, even when he's old, he'll never depart from it? What does that mean? And what does train mean anyhow? And, you know, and we get this and we throw it around and we quote it to ourselves, but we don't know what it means. And so I want to emphasize a few moments. If you'll just sit and listen and receive this, you're going to see a little better understanding of what that verse really means. Train a child up. Now, the best way to let the Bible, to interpret the Bible, is by letting the Bible interpret itself. This word train is found in three more places in the scriptures. Deuteronomy 20 and 5, 1 Kings 8:63, and 2 Chronicles 7:5. I don't know if I made it large enough so you can see it in the back. But in each one of these verses where this word is used, you find that it's translated not trained, but dedicated. So what we're really saying, well, I'll read the verses in Deuteronomy 20 and 5, and the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a house and hath not dedicated it? That's the same word for train. Only in Proverbs 22:6 do we find this word translated train. Every place else in the Bible is translated dedicate. So what we're really saying here is, dedicate a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Another verse is 1 Kings 8:63, and Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offering, which he offered unto the Lord, 220,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. So we're talking here of something far superior than simply training. We're in a much higher mentality. And then in 2 Chronicles 7:5, again speaking about the same thing, Solomon dedicated the house of the Lord. So what we're talking about here is what we've got to do with our children to keep them from straying away from the things of God and making a mess of their life, is get them dedicated to God. Dedicated child. Now, we have dedication services for children here. We have them about every month, at least one or so. But that's not all we're talking about. That is the first step. But that's not all. They have got to learn how to be dedicated. They've got to see you dedicated. They've got to hear you dedicated. They've got to listen to you being dedicated. They've got to watch you be dedicated. Now, we've talked about this before. If I'm a terrible husband, and I teach all my son all I know about being a husband, what have I taught my son? Nothing, except to be a terrible husband. I'll put a chain around his neck, and we'll talk about that in just a second. So what we're really understanding, and we'll see this as I develop this today, I hope, the primary thing that you're going to learn about training your children is you must be the example. The thing we're really shooting for here, and the thing that we're really looking at, is what you train them for is to hear you, is to listen to you. That's what you really train them for. And when they don't listen to you, you use a rod on them. It's about that simple. Now I'm going to develop it. And I beat my kids. Lance, did I beat my kids? Barney, did I beat my... Yeah, I did. The Bible says to beat them. Say, you won't kill them. Now, I know that's not a problem. See, this is the problem today. This is the problem. We have allowed the world to influence our home. You look at the divorce rate of the world and the divorce rate in the church. Is there any difference? Have we infected them or have they infected us? See, we're listening to the wrong voice. We're listening to the wrong book. You got to put down Spock and pick up Jesus. Amen? And that's the problem today. And we'll listen to all these people tell us how to train kids, and if we'll just do what the Bible says, folks, I'll tell you, it works. It just works. And we're going to talk about all these things. And don't think I was overly abusive to my children. My children love me, and they listen to me. And that's what you want to train them to do, is train them so they'll hear you, because if they can hear Father natural, they'll hear Father. If they hear Mama Spirit natural, they'll hear Father Spirit in the natural. Well, you know what I'm saying. And we're going to get that in just a second. Well, I'll show you in just a second. It was the mama that taught the law. You'll see. We're going to develop this in just a minute. But understand, this is where we're heading. You got to get your kid dedicated. You got to get them enthused about the things of God. That's why children love our church. We let them be children. We let them enjoy church. Roger, does Lacey like to come to church? Duran, what was you telling me about your girls? Duran said, now I'm going to say this on tape, so you won't ever be able to move, even if they offer you a $50,000 job. Duran told me, and Don, wasn't it you and me? No, me and Steve. Me and Steven, wasn't it? Duran told us yesterday, he said, if I was offered a $50,000 a year job away from the church, I couldn't take it because my girls love this church. Now listen, you're getting them dedicated to the things of God. We let them be kids. Hey, they're children. Teach them to enjoy the house of the Lord. Duran said his mom used to have to beat him to get him to go to the house of the Lord. Am I right? Duran said he'd be laying in the bed watching the clock on Sunday morning. And he knew what time he had to get up. If mama didn't come in and get him, he knew he'd made it. He didn't have to go. But your kids, if they come here, folks, they want to come to church. And that's what we try to present, an atmosphere for that, so that kids will come and that they'll be trained. They'll get dedicated to the things of God. And that's what we're talking about here, getting them dedicated. So the first thing you've got to understand in training a child is you've got to get them dedicated. They've got to be dedicated to God. They've got to see you dedicated to God. And the way you train them is by doing that. First thing it means from those passages of scriptures, as we let the Bible interpret the Bible, we find out that it means being dedicated. And then what you got to understand is they've got to not only be dedicated to God, they've got to be dedicated to you. Now, the strongest families in the body of Christ are the families that are dedicated to each other. My family is very dedicated to each other. We're a dedicated group of folks. We're dedicated. Lance is dedicated to me. Bonnie, we're dedicated to them. We're just dedicated. We know how to relate to each other. We know how to relate to as a family. Therefore, I can bring that into you as a church family and better relate to you. I know how to relate to my dad. Therefore, if I can relate to my natural dad, does that help me relate to spiritual dad? So if I'm understanding that I got to get my kids dedicated to me, dedicated to family, dedicated to the natural, then first the natural, then the spiritual, then I can get them dedicated to the Lord. And this has to be nearly in the same breath. It's not a separation of Lord and you nearly, you're thinking along the same. Family is God. God is family. It's difficult for me to separate those thoughts. I can't be faithful to God if I'm not faithful to my family. I can't be faithful to my church if I don't know how to be faithful to my family. Does this make sense to you? So you see, it's in a same thought and in the same sentence, And it's with the same thrust that you relate to this thing, that when you get them dedicated, what this means, first of all, is you got to project to them how family works. You got to project to them how to get dedicated to family. Therefore, they can then learn to get dedicated to the things of God. You'll find that the strongest families in the church are the families that are dedicated to one another. The families that are dedicated to one another are also dedicated to the church. Okay? The third thing that we're looking at, dedicating, is to hearing you. And this is really where we're heading. I want you, if you will, if you look in your Bible at Proverbs chapter 1. I don't have this one up there, so you might want to jot this one down. In Proverbs chapter 1. Train your child to be dedicated. To be dedicated to family, dedicated to parents, dedicated to siblings. Dedicated. Train your children to be dedicated to the house of the Lord. Train your children to be dedicated to the things of God. Don't let them hear you talk about the church, the pastor, the elders, the people in the church. Don't let them hear that. That's not good. No more than you would let them hear you. You should let them hear you talk about your husband or your wife. No more should you let that happen than you let them hear you talk about the church in a negative way. All they should hear is you uplifting your spouse, and all they should ever hear you doing is uplifting the things of God. If you don't do that and you start putting it down, the next thing you know is you're pushing them away. You're not training them. You're not getting them dedicated to, but you're pushing them from. Now, what I want you to see here is I want to begin really developing this, because to me, as I've studied this week and as I really want to project it next week, the main thing that I have seen in the Scriptures as I've studied it over this past couple of weeks about children is the thing that we really train them for is to hear you. Now, watch this. In Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law, and that's the Hebrew word Torah. And you, if you know anything, you know what that means. That's the law of God. And it's the same word, the Torah. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, please notice there how the Torah, the law, is related to mom. I really believe that we're much in, you know, most of the homeschooling today that's done at home is done by mama, right? And that's what they did in the Bible, as they homeschooled their kids, and they taught them the law of God, and it's related here to mom. Keep the law of mom. Hear your father. He says, if you'll do this, look at the next verse, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Now, parents, I know you know what I'm telling you is true. You see, you will have the greatest influence on your child than anyone else in the whole world. What they hear from you will be a grace upon them. And there's negative graces and there's positive graces. For example, Father God saves us by grace. Now, that's not some mystical little thing. We've taught about grace. There's a book back there on grace. If you don't have it, pick it up. It's free. Pay me if you want to, whatever. It'll explain what grace of God is to you. But the grace of God is God imparting into us abilities. That's the grace. What he's saying here is what you'll do for your children, parents, is you'll impart them gracings, abilities. You'll save them or destroy them by grace. What you're imparting to them is so important. Hear the word. It'll be like grace upon your head. You'll wear it the rest of your life. What you do to your kids, what you train them, how you teach them, they'll wear for the rest of their lives. It's a garland. Or it's like a chain around their neck. Now Michelle has a gold chain around her neck. But I don't think that's what this is really saying here. How many knows that you can put prosperity type chains around your children's necks, or you can put chains of iron? And we've talked about this before. So oftentimes, not all the time, and I'm not making blanket statements here, but a lot of times the way your parents were are the way that you end up. Alcoholics, alcoholism, wife beaters, all these things, you know, abusive people, so what they put chains. My parents put chains around me. They graced me. They put chains. What I am is basically due to what they were able to do with me the 18 years or so that they had me. So what we want to teach our children to do is hear us. Do you see this? Let's read that verse now with that light, and let's look at that again. It says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. What's the important thing for the child to do? Hear. So you want to train him to do what? Hear. Hear the instruction of my father and forsake not the law, the Torah, of your mother. Now, how many of you would be honest enough to say that you didn't do everything your daddy told you to do and it got you in trouble? Okay? How many of you would be honest to say that your mama put down laws and when you violated those laws, something bad happened? Sure. See, that's just about, we know these things. This is not some mystical thing. This is just activating things that we already know. You got to get them dedicated. They've got to see you dedicated. They've got to see you giving. If you want children that know how to give, you've got to teach them, dedicate them to give. If you want children that pray, what have you got to do? If you want children that praise, you see, the pastor or the one of the fivefold ministries, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, that's in a church is looked at as a father type of a ministry. So what I do as an example to you. I can't preach it if I don't do it. So I praise God, hoping that you'll see me praise God and that you will start praising God. That I'll get you dedicated to praising God. I want you to know I give so that I will work giving into you. I want you to know I pray so that I work prayer into you. I want you to know how to get my finances. I want you to know my finances are in order so that I'll help you get yours in order. I want you to understand these things. And what you become in the first the natural and then the spiritual is an example. I have to get you. How many of you when you came to this church really weren't a dedicated giver? Let's just use this as an example. You weren't a tither. You were not. Be honest with me. You were not a dedicated giver. Well, that's not working out like I thought it was. All you guys were tithers before you came in. Most of you were. How many of you praised God with all your might before you came here? One. How many did not praise God the way you praise God now? Okay. Why? What has changed? Has there been an example? Has there been something set before you? Same way with giving. As you see people give, it works it into you. You get dedicated. I get you dedicated to giving because I want you to understand giving. I want you to get you dedicated to praising because I want you to understand praise. So this is what we're talking about. You get the children dedicated. You dedicate them to the things of God. My son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. How many sees that both parents are important? And that both parents instruct. And that both parents are necessary. And then, verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Your gracings, your initial gracings are given to you by your parents. And the bondages that you have are basically given to you by your parents. Now, moving from that, moving on to our second part here, the second text that I want to use, and we'll have to quit with this one. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. And I want to show you here a picture of what happens when you understand and activate the things of God in your children. And what happens when you activate the things of Father into you. Now, how many knows that we can take every bit of this so far and relate it back to our relationship with Heavenly Father? It was Jesus our example. Should we be dedicated to Him and dedicated to the family? See, I can't separate Jesus and this family. I can't separate my family. We've got to be dedicated to these things. And we've got to be dedicated to hearing Him. Am I right? Do I need to be able to hear God? Do I need to be dedicated to hearing God? Do your children need to be dedicated to hearing you? Do you need to train them to hear you? And what will you do, parents, if they won't listen to you? Everybody say rod. Rod. When you say stop, they should stop. If they don't stop, rod. If you say sit, they should sit. If they don't sit, everybody say rod. Rod. This is training your child. And you're doing little bitty things. We're going to get into all this. When they're little bitty things. If you train them when they're young, when you train a child when they're old, they'll still hear you. Now, when Lance was a child, he was 8 years old, 6 years old, 3 years old, 2 years old, 1 year old, right? Now he's old. How old are you? 20 what? 26. Now, does that scripture there, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and won't depart from it, does that mean he has to be 80? Or can he be 26? See, understand, it's the principle. It's the understanding what the scripture says there. Now, in this passage in Proverbs 2, God gives us a picture. Notice, please, there are three ifs in verse 1, if in verse 1, one if in verse 2, one if in verse 3. One if in verse 1, one if in verse 3, and one if in verse 4. And then if you look at verse 5, you see a then. And then verse 9, a then. And then in verse 10, a when. Proverbs chapter 2. I hope I wrote it right. Did I write it right? Three ifs, two thens, and one when. What I want you to see is if you'll do these things, if you'll do them, and when they're activated, then your child is going to have a very prosperous and a good life. You'll have a life with results. Let's read this. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. What's the son got to do? Receive the words. He's got to hear. The primary thing that we'll keep seeing over and over and over again is training the child to hear. When daddy says no, it means no. And if it doesn't, it means that's it. Because you're training the child to be dedicated to hearing God, to hearing you. Now, whether you want to say it or not, Dad, you're God in that house. Now, I know that probably bounced around here a little bit. But God looks at you as the head of that house. He looks at you as the ruler. He looks at you as the one that should be taking control there. And you want to train your child to hear you, to receive from you. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, that's a must, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto what? Wisdom, and apply thine heart unto understanding. What is a house built on? Wisdom and understanding. We've already seen that. Remember Proverbs chapter 24. It's not built on love. We've talked about this. That's why I do these funny things, so you'll have it in your mind. Our home is not built on love. Our home is built on understanding and wisdom. Proverbs 24. Now understand that, see? And we want our children to have a good house, a good home. So what we want to do is get this into them so they'll hear it. Verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Now why is God's people destroyed? Lack of knowledge. So again, we're saying you want your child to hear you so that he'll get wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. He'll be able to build a home himself or herself, and they'll have the knowledge worked within them. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if, and if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her for hid treasures. How many say that this is really important? I mean, it's like getting wealth. People seek after money. The Lord is saying here, you gotta see it with that much. How many of you go to work every day? Okay? Every day. You go to work. All right. This is what the Lord, He's emphasizing this. Is if you gotta seek after it just like that. You gotta go after it just like that. It's that important. Seek after it as silver. Seek after it as gold. If you'll do this, then, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is buckler. He's a shield to them that walk uprightly. How many of you would really like your children to make good decisions even while they grow up? How many of you would like God to be their shield and their buckler even while they grow up? This is how you do it. It's not only by praying in tongues. It is by getting your child to hear you and to listen to you and to do what you say do. You train them primarily to hear you. Receive my words. Get my commandments. Hear what I say to you. Hear what your mama says to you. And if you don't, you've got to have a relationship with that with pain. If you don't do what Father says do, there's pain. And when he catches up with you, him he loveth, he chasteneth. Understand, this isn't complicated, is it? Then thou shalt understand. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Verse 7, and he layeth up wisdom and righteousness and the buckler and his shield. Verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and persevereth the ways of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment. All these thens are dependent upon what Father puts into them, what they're able to hear Daddy say, and what they're able to receive from Mama. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, direction, discretion shall persevere thee, understanding shall keep thee. Now, he's going on down through this, and we're going to break this down through here, because I want to give you five areas that what he's just said, if you'll do, will help your child. In the rest of this chapter, there's five thoughts that I want to project to you, and then we're done for today. We'll start next time with the rod. I want you to understand the rod. I wasn't an abusive father, but I used the rod. I believe you can be a good father and use the rod, contrary to what society says. I believe he has made the back for bruising. He has a specific spot on the body made just for that. I had a big one because I needed it. He makes the back for bruising. There is a place on the body that God has created. There's no major organs in there. There's no big blood vessels or nothing. Yeah, you'll get some blueness there. But it is padded. Okay, number one. If you'll do these things, you'll find out that doing this teaching, this training for your child, will do five things. Number one, train the child to avoid evil people. This is the first thing you're going to see. You're going to be able to train your child if you'll get your child to hear you, and you'll get him dedicated to the things of God, get him dedicated to the house of God, teach him correctly, train him right, he'll avoid evil people. See if that's not what that Bible verse says, what the scripture says. To deliver thee from the way of evil men, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths. Now, let's ask a question. How many of you, like me, got around some folks that got you in trouble when you were growing up? So one of the major ways you got in trouble was by getting around the wrong people. The way you'll keep your child from doing that is getting to hear you. And when they say that person's bad, you don't need to be around that person. You have worked it in there where there's an association of rod and disobedience. And if this person gets around this person after mom and dad said no, there's a pain that's coming. Sad. It's the saddest thing to know how children, good children, get around the wrong folk and end up in all sorts of big trouble. And what you want to do is you train them to hear you. And when you say no, it means no. Don't be around that person. Don't be around that person. That person is not good. They're wicked. They'll take you off in the paths of crookedness. And when you say it, they listen. Because when they were little bitty things, they got an association worked into them, a principle worked into them, disobedience and pain. Don't wait till they're 15, 16 years old to try to spank your child. Somebody told me not just a couple of weeks back that they had a 16-year-old daughter. The father had never spanked the child. He spanked the child, and the mother and the child left the daddy because he spanked her. 16. What was the problem there? Waited too long to start this thing. You can't wait till 16 years old to work this principle into them. All they see you doing is abusing them. All they see you doing is beating them. You got to train the child up. The child. When I think of child, I'm thinking crawling or younger. Judy, when did our children get the most of their spank? And I'm not saying this as I was the perfect parent. Please don't hear that. That's not what I'm saying. I messed up a lots of places. But when did our children get the most of their spanking? They were born until what? Till about 4 or 5 years old. After that, very few. How many? I mean, they got a bunch of them. I mean, didn't they, Daddy? Daddy got mad at me one time because I spanked Lance. That's right. His grandson. He got mad at me. But now what kind of a grandson have I produced you? Got the best. He said, Back to my point. Did they get a bunch of spankings? I mean, innumerable spankings. Bonnie, how many do you remember? Two. How many do you remember? Two. Folks, I mean, they got 2,000.
They got 2,000 in a day.
You're not going to kill them. There is the principle that's worked into here now that they're dedicated to the house of God. They're dedicated to me. They're dedicated to their mama. They understand family. They understand church. They're serving God. They're dedicated to all the things that they're supposed to be dedicated to. You understand this? This is so good. Okay, so the first thing that training your child to hear you is going to work into them is to avoid evil people. Lance, did your mama from time to time say, "Stay away from that guy"? Now, if you didn't, what happened? Bad things. Okay. Bonnie, same thing. You see, they just knew that when we said it, hey, that meant something. You know, a lot of times, I just said that, but a lot of times I see parents, they say something to their kids, it don't mean nothing. They just keep on doing what they were doing. My didn't. They knew if they didn't do what Daddy said, if they didn't receive my instructions, rod. Number two, verses 16 through 19, train the child to avoid immoral situations. We live in a very immoral society. Very immoral. Crime is rampant. Your children are going to get around folks that will take them into crime. Gangs, all these kinds of things. Your instructions will help them avoid that. Your instructions will also, if you get them to train to hear you and work it into them, it'll also train them to avoid immoral situations. Verse 16, to deliver them from strange women, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of God. Marriage vows. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. The second thing that helps to understand what I'm projecting to you, if you'll get your children to hear your voice, they'll avoid many immoral situations. Major rampant today. Major attack on the minds of young people today. Attack on all people. Remember the fishnet money? Mm-hmm. Okay. Whatever you say, I'm not getting into that one. It was red, though. I remember it too well. But there's an attack. There's an attack. I showed it to my wife, didn't I? There's an attack on the minds of people today for immorality. It's major, folks. And what we want to do is get our children to hear us so we can get the instructions into them to avoid these things. It's the third one. Verse 20. Train them giving discretion to walk with good people. It's not sufficient just to not avoid the bad people. It's also got to train them who to friendship with. Verse 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Now again, the way they learn these things is by watching you. If you get them in the proper atmosphere, praise, worship, church, those kinds of things, that should be people that they fellowship with, that they hook up with. They should be able to listen to you and hear you and know that that's where they really need to be at. You can train them not only who to avoid, but you can also train them, get them dedicated to people that they need to connect with. Fourthly, give ability to receive and leave an inheritance. It's so sad today. We have a welfare society. There's no mentality. The basic church belief right now is the any minute rapture. And I can get in debt and Jesus is going to come and rapture me out of here. So we build up all this debt. There's such a ravagedness of society today on finances. There's no leaving an inheritance. Turks talked to you before about that. What would we leave our children were something to happen to us today? A lot of credit card debts? Big house payments? What will we leave as an inheritance? Well, see, what we want to train our children to understand, and again, this goes back to the parent. You've got to have your life in order. You want to train them not only to be successful, but to leave an inheritance. Give them some discretion. And if they'll hear you, you train them where they can hear you. They won't make foolish mistakes like many of us have made. I don't want my children to get into the financial bondages that I was in. Had something happened to me 10, 15 years ago, I would have left no inheritance. All I would have left was a lot of debt. But now they hear me and neither one of them know anything. So what I'm trying to say to you is work this into your kids. Get them to understand staying out of debt, getting an inheritance, bringing something for my grandkids and my great-grandkids, making sure that we don't have to rely on society for their welfare. This is done by getting them to hear you. To show you where I was at, me and Judy had just gotten married. The story just came to me. I was 19 years old, and I wanted to buy a color television set. Just got married. We had bought a house trailer. We was living in a house trailer, and I wanted to buy a color television set. And I was 19 years old, maybe 20, but I was under 21. And I said, so I had to have somebody sign with me. We've been married 2 years then. Well, I've been married long. I was still young. I was under 21, so that's the point. So I called Daddy. I said, Daddy, I want to buy this color television set. I need you to come sign. He said, I ain't signing. You just got married, son. You don't need to buy a color television set. What do you mean? I want this set. I want this, Daddy. I'm not signing. He didn't sign. Okay. Rebellious little me. They said, well, since you're married, we'll let you have it. We'll let you get it. So I got my color television set. I couldn't pay for it. They started calling me on the telephone, threatening to repossess my color television set. Threatening her because she was doing the bills at the time. Understand the principle. You got to learn to hear. You got to teach your children to hear. Daddy, did you ever spank me? No? Now, Mama did. Mama, she'd get me. And Grandma. But Daddy never spanked me. You see, he told me not to buy it. He hadn't trained me to hear him. I didn't have that association. Okay, lastly. And we've already done this one. Well, let me give you, just read the rest of the chapter. Fourth one is ability to receive and leave an inheritance. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off. Please get that. Who's taken and who's left? Well, now listen, church teachings basically is that the good's taken. Folks, that's not biblical. The wicked's always taken. You read Matthew, I don't know where in the world this is coming from, but you read Matthew chapter 24, so somebody needs to hear this. You read Matthew chapter 24 and you'll find out, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. Who was taken in Noah's day? The wicked or the righteous? So is it always. The wicked are always taken. And he wants us to stay here. This is our place. This is our land. This is our city. Amen. Okay. But the wicked shall be cut off. Verse 22, chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. We've already read it. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. What does that mean? You're going to start training them to hear you. And that's the last one. The last point, number 5, was train them to hear you. Train them to receive your commandment. Train them to listen to you and your spouse. Don't put your spouse down in front of your kids. Never, never, never do that, because that'll just give them a bad taste and they'll start doing it too. You start talking about the wife, they'll start talking about the wife. You start talking about daddy, they'll start talking about daddy. Listen, don't do that. Train them up in the way they should go. We're starting this. Seeing this, it's taken me a while to develop it, and I know it, but I want you to understand, I want you to see this. By getting this into our kids to listen to us, to hear us, that's what the rod is for. It's not because you don't love your child. The Bible says that God loves us, and whom He loves, He chastens. And we're going to read a scripture, and we don't have time to put them up. I got them all up there on the overheads. But we're going to read a scripture next week that it says, if you love your child, you'll rod them. Why? Because you're going to teach them to hear you. How many is getting something out of this session? Is this all right stuff? I mean, this is really home and family, right down where we live at, isn't it? Right, everyday stuff that I'm trying to project. Common sense things that I've just applied in my life for 15 years and has worked for me. And I know if it works for me, He's no respecter of persons, it'll work for you. Let's stand. Bow your heads, please. I just want you to respond to the voice of the Lord. You've heard something today that's spoken to your spirit about rearing your children. Even though maybe your children are older, you maybe have seen some places where you might have missed it just a little bit. And you see now where you can adjust. Or you've got young children and you see something now that maybe you need to emphasize just a little bit more. And I'm going to get clear on this rod thing, but I really want you to respond to the voice of the Lord and to Him right now. And you say, well, I haven't done quite as well as I need to do with my children, but I really do want to. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help me. Help me get clarity, Lord God, on how to do these things as I should do. Would you just respond to the Lord and lift your hands and say, yes, Lord, I need some help here. Amen. Amen. I see a lot of hands. Good. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth and it makes us free. We thank you, Lord God, that we can grace our kids if we'll just train them to hear us. We thank you, Lord God, that we can give them a garland to wear all their days. We thank you, Lord God, that we can put a chain about them that will link them to you. They'll be chained to Jesus and dedicated to Him. We thank you, Lord God, that you give us your word and you show us that there are ways that we don't have to be destroyed, and we don't have to destroy our own kids. We don't have to have our children rejected. All we've got to do is find out what you say and do it. Father, I thank you for giving me insight and understanding in these matters. I thank you, Lord God, for my family. I thank you for my children. I thank you, Lord God, that you've made me a living epistle in so many ways. Thank you, Lord God, that people read my life. Go with us now, Lord. Be with us tonight as we entertain the city. And Lord God, be with those who minister tonight. Bless their lives. We ask you now to go with us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. God bless you. One more thing before you go. Roger, I just want to thank you. I meant to do it earlier. I just want to thank you for all you've done on this school thing. You've just taken it and you've just done a great job, and we appreciate it. We appreciate it. Amen. Yeah.